All right, so let's, we will have a roll call, and then if, with the board's permission, we'll take a vote to have Robin attend remotely. So, roll call, please.
Badger? Ett? Metcalf? Schmidt? Tylan? Westcott? And Scrope?
Here, 6 in attendance, and I would like, it's for health reasons, correct?
Yes.
So it falls within the Open Meetings Act. May I have a motion to permit Trustee Schmidt to attend remotely?
Mm-hmm.
And a second? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Hey,
Robin, it's Leslie. You're here in a room full of people. Be careful what you say.
Yeah. I never answer, that's the problem.
Well, welcome to the meeting. Let the record reflect that Trustee Schmidt is here attending remotely. With that, we will proceed with Committee of the Whole. And I know you all are as excited as I am on the Comer Cox redevelopment plan. I wanted to also mention that Alderman Gregory is here with us. He has just been a tremendous proponent of all things going on at Comer Cox Park and has been a liaison with the city, so much appreciation. So with that, Derek, do you want to sort of walk us through where we are at the moment?
Sure. Well, tonight we're going to present the design plans for the Comer Cox redevelopment plan, as Leslie said. And I will say that throughout this process, designing this park, we've hosted public input meetings, we've initiated public surveys, we've attended neighbor association meetings, we've received input from the park board, from user groups, from city aldermen, the mayor, and city council as well. It's been a really fun process, and we did this in an effort to make sure that the design of the park is going to meet the needs of the community. We got a lot of really great input and feedback throughout the process. We also made many changes throughout the process based on the feedback that we got. So tonight we have what I'm going to call a draft plan. It is not in final form. Anything that the board or members of the public would like to change, we can certainly do that. So we've got plenty of time to do that. But we do want to start moving forward, making some decisions on some things so we can give staff the direction to go ahead and move forward with these things. So there are several items we're going to discuss tonight, including the pump track, the fit court, expansion of the existing splash pad, resurfacing of the existing parking lot, a fence bordering the residential area, and new walking paths and lights on the east side of the park, and potentially a new loop walking path throughout the park that we're working on a partnership with the city on. So we'll discuss these items in greater detail tonight. We'll not be taking any action tonight, but we will be asking the board for action on a couple of the items next week if the board so desires, so we can give direction and some marching orders to our Parks and Planning Department. So as Leslie said, this redevelopment plan is kind of the culmination of a tremendous amount of work and energy and effort from a lot of people. First, I want to say that this would not be possible without the generous gift from the Betty Smith family, which is funding the lion's share of all the improvements that we're talking about tonight. And then again, as President Scrooge said, throughout this project, we have forged a strong partnership with Alderman Gregory, Alderman Williams, and Alderwoman Purchase, as well as the Mayor of Springfield. They've all been extremely supportive and generous and helpful throughout this project, so we certainly thank them for all their efforts that they're working on. Most recently, the city, through Alderman Gregory's amendment to the budget, approved $125,000 in the city's budget to help fund a wide range of things at Colton Cox Park. Part of that funding is going to go to the fit court that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And some other parts of that funding are going to go to help us continue to expand the programming initiatives that we started with the city through a partnership last year. That was a really important project, and I guess I note that because bigger than just the infrastructure and physical repairs that you see in the park, we're going to continue a lot of the needed programming in that park as well, and we're really excited about those projects as well. So that being said, let's start with the pump track. I'm going to do a little intro here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Adam Eichhorn of the Spawn Ranch, who's come down to join us and talk about the details of the pump track. But I can tell you broadly that the pump track is the single largest improvement project that we're looking at as part of this project. It'll be around $350,000 on the $300,000 pump track, and then there's a lot of other infrastructure items with rock and some of the buildings and landscaping and other things that we'll need to do as part of the project as well. The park district, I will also mention right now, provides two skate parks in the community. One is the Centennial Park. The other one, the new one, which Spawn Ranch also designed and built for us, is at Isles Park. And we hit a 10 out of 10. It has quickly become a beloved amenity within our community. But with this pump track, we wanted to do something different. Those parks are both designed specifically for skateboarders and for boarders. Not that bikes can't use them, but they were designed specifically for skaters. At Homer Cox Park, again, we wanted to do something different, and we geared this, we wanted to gear something more towards the biking community, and that's exactly what we've done, and that's why we're proposing a pump track as part of this project.
Anyone who questions why it's a pump track and why it's for bicycles instead of skateboards, because that was the wish and the will of the person who donated the money.
Yep.
So the question's off the board.
Yeah. And you know, it's not that skateboarders or roller skaters or anybody else couldn't use this park, but we wouldn't have designed it for bikes.
Right.
Okay, so this will be a new amenity in the park. Lynn, can you check our PowerPoint for us? I'm not sure what's going on with that. So this will be a new amenity in the park. It's not an improvement to an existing site. It is a new amenity. And not only new to Homer Cox Park, it's new to the park, it's new to our community, and new to Central Illinois.
I was going to say, it's new to the region.
Yeah, it's a really exciting we did host a design meeting in October at the Salvation Army, and during that meeting we proposed the new site. Spawn Ranch led that meeting for us. They're a professional skate park design and construction company we've got a really positive relationship with. That meeting was well attended. We also did online surveys after that meeting. Spawn Ranch gathered several valuable insights from community members. They incorporated them into the design, and then Mike Eichhorn is here tonight to kind of share the plans with us.
So. Yeah, I'm going to just pass forward it, and I did kind of
out. So I have a question, Adam, while they're working on the technical stuff. I was told, and I want to confirm that this will be like one of the premier pump tracks in the country when we build it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's sort of accurate. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm sorry for saying it that way, but I don't. To be honest with you, I know of in the region. There's one in the St. Louis area that's like the largest in the country. The next in Illinois, the largest that I know of is up near Chicago on the south side. It's called, but it is also an asphalt pump track. And I believe that this is going to rival the size of that pump track. So it could potentially be the largest pump track in Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big feather to both.
We like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Derek.
I like that.
So that's it for the intro. Appreciate it. I'm Adam. I'm the Spawn Ranch State Park. I had the privilege to be here a little over a year ago to present the Isles Park design, And as Derek mentioned, it was it has been a big hit, a successful design, build, execution. And from what I see on social media and some of the friends that I made during that process, everybody loves that part. So very fortunate to be back talking about pump track. And as Derek mentioned, I use the term skate park really loosely, but indeed it is a skateboard park that all other non-motorized wheels can use. Whereas a pump track is technically a bike track that all other non-motorized wheels can use. I have ridden plenty of pump tracks on my skateboard and have a ton of fun. But that said, the design is driven by the two-wheel community, essentially. So I have a very small presentation, but I want to kind of just start off by, this is kind of what the pump track is going to look like. And you can see that you've got two different wheeled users, obviously a bike user, and I think we purposely put the slide in here to show that it's not age-specific either. Anybody can use this at any given age. And this is obviously a young rider without wheels, a Strider bike. So we'll get into the design and talk a little bit about how different abilities can use the track. Let's get to that next slide real quick. A little overview of the site, obviously. It's a little redundant, but you can see kind of where the pump track fits into the layout there, right down the middle. Obviously, we designed it with the existing topographical trees and pathways and things like that. So we wanted to disturb the site as least as possible by still being able to install the large pump track in that spot. Get to the next one. Now you're going to see the pump track. This is our rendering of what the pump track is going to look like. All right. And one of the things I want to point out is that, it's hard to scale how large this is, but at the smallest point of the pump track, it's probably at least 6 feet wide. So you can expand that out on some of the other areas. What that really does is it allows for multiple, entrances and exits. The pump track most likely will have some arrows in some directions because we don't want everybody going in all different directions at the same time. It does tend to get used a specific way and a direction starts to kind of become the norm. Everybody kind of understands it. That being said, this pump track specifically has multiple directions. So if you're riding through the pump track in one specific direction, you'll see lots of left and right. Those are banked walls. What this rendering does not show is the berming off the backside. So we're not going to install a pump track that has a large turn down wall of just straight down to grade. It's all graded back and it's all bermed back. So when it's installed, it'll look like the first picture with the grass or whatnot. I'm not sure exactly what materials are going to go in between the pump track, but it'll look more like it's part of the existing terrain. So continue on through the pump track, you've got multiple entrances and exits. I can't, to be honest with you, you can kind of visualize how you'd be riding through it. I don't want to tell you how you would go, but if you did start up this section here, you'd ride through and you take a couple loops. You have the ability to go around the entire track. You have the ability to come into it a couple different directions, exit in certain areas. I'm going to point real quick to this section right here. That actually is a wooden structure, a large bank, that allows you to come into it softly and kind of collect your energy and slow down and stop. You can also ride up it and then use that energy to go back into the pump track. So there's basically, I guess what I'm getting at is that there's so many options with this type of design. And that's something that we really wanted to accomplish. We heard during the design meeting that the term intestinal, okay, I know it's kind of strange to say that, but it's just random, right, left, turns, all kinds of neat stuff like that. So I think we've accomplished that with this design. Let's check out the next one. It's a different perspective. You're going to see the overview on top right corner all the time, but this gives you just a different perspective. So, you know, you're going to have an entrance, elevated entrance. You always want to have an elevated entrance on a pump track because you want to drop into the pump track as opposed to pedal up and start. A good pump track design, you're never going to need to pedal or push. It should pump you through it. That's the idea behind the pump track. This gives you a different view of that bank from the backside. It's a really cool feature because from the street as you're driving down through the street or if you're entering the park, you're not going to really see that much of the pump track. You might see a little bit of it, but you're going to see that wall, and that's going to really like dictate. You're going to see people coming up and going down on it too, so that's going to be like a kind of a structural or architectural element that's a feature of the park. Cruise to the next one, see what that's all about. It's a different perspective again. He's going to be looking at it. I don't know exactly the angle, but most likely southwest. I think that's the way it works, but maybe not. Again, you're going to see multiple entry and exit points, options, and, you know, just to be honest with you, like, I see lots of potential, a lot of fun going on here. So, yeah, I guess that's about all I have right now. Is there any questions? No. I was going to applaud you, actually, but thank you. Did anybody have any questions regarding the design of pump track?
Sean,
you're going to get the smell off it. I want to say one more thing. Like, I remember the last meeting we talked about skate parks, and we're generally talking to the skate community, but this type of element in a community is not just for a specific, I mean, it's geared towards bike riding, okay, but anybody can use it. Like, I envision everybody in this room being able to get out there and just have some fun. You can ride a bike or roller skate or scoot, whichever you want to do. Injury?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I would recommend, you know. So personally, I would recommend if you're rolling up to the pump track for the first time, observe, watch how it's being ridden, watch how fast the riders are going. That's the etiquette. That's true of all skateable surfaces, rideable surfaces, in my opinion. Wear some safety gear, but being in all honesty, you're connected to the track at all times. This is not like a skate park where you're jumping over things or jumping down things. This is something that's to be ridden in both wheels or all four wheels at the same time. I mean, injuries, that's hopefully not. You know, that's kind of up to the rider.
Fair enough. And that's what our insurance says.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not a professional.
Yes.
Any other questions?
In your experience with pump tracks, what normally does go in with the middle?
Well, I've seen artificial turf. It's probably not cheap, but that can be installed at a later date too. There could be grass. Simple as that, you know. But then there's also like you can mow the grass and keep the clippings off the track. So that's true at any skateboard park though. I mean, that you're gonna have leaves from the trees coming in onto it. So one thing I know about the rider community is that, you know, we're going to keep it clean. And I say we because I skate. I'm going to go to the skate park, I'm going to sweep the bowl or the skate park out if there's any issues. I see that happening here. People like tend to take good care of the things that they enjoy. But also I've seen in the center, like large river stones. There's a lot of different things you can do in there.
Okay.
One thing, there's a couple things you don't want to do, though, and I don't want to get into the specifics of those, but you don't want to put, like, a sand or a small gravel because those can stop you, a small wheel, or it can cause slip-out if you're taking a turn too hard.
Sure.
You don't want to do that.
The reason I'm asking is so everyone knows, I've already had some conversations with Jason, that is, I don't want it to be ugly and to be, like, a pile of mud. I think that there needs to be some form of beautification effort to make it look nice. With that said, I understand the lawn maintenance portion of it is not going to be easy to maintain if we just put regular grass in there. So I've asked him to try and come up with some kind of a like ground cover.
Or like, could we put like small plants in there, like knockout roses or something that it doesn't require? Right, that has. That looks nice, but maybe it's easy to maintain.
Yeah.
I that's a very good point.
Non-mowing grass, like large, like fescue type of grass or things like that in some settings, it might be good. I mean, this is something that you might want to consult a landscape architect about. But yeah, I think you're on the right track, absolutely.
I agree with you, though. It would be bad if it just was like mud. And
Yeah, those areas aren't usually like this. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, and exactly as Jason mentioned, that there's extensive drains throughout the park. So part of our process is to put together a drainage plan, a site plan. The park is elevated, or the surfaces are elevated to where the water does drain into, come off the track and drain into those drains. But yeah, absolutely, around those drains and in those zones, you might want to look at some sort of hardscape or softscape for that matter, a combination of both.
Great. Okay.
Good question.
And so, from the point that the board would give you a green light on approving the design, talk to us a little about just overall construction timeline. And
sure. I don't have an exact. We never really want to say we will be on site at this date, this early in the stage. There's still some processes that need to go through as far as that construction documents and those. But right now, I mean, to be honest, we're looking at a June timeline
to start.
And I don't, like, to be honest with you, my stage number is 12 weeks for
that
install.
Was cool.
But yeah, but it could be less. I don't see it being more, unless we have some major issues with like weather and things like that, or some sort of holdup that we're not.
So maybe end of summer?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Very.
It is pretty crazy. And I guess the other question for that is how durable.
We've had repair shops maybe three times. It's what, 15 years, 12 years old?
I'm thinking that area would still be soft enough that if somebody did crash or whatever, but it would also not have the issue with the grass clipping getting into
good
the
point.
Track itself.
You could make it colorful.
And you can make it colorful. You could do design. You could even still put potted plants in there on it, and it could still be sprayed off and go to the drainage.
I mean, that's my favorite service.
I know, but the thing is, in the long run, though, I think that the maintenance on it would end up paying for it.
Yeah, in the end, my goal is to not have to do anything inside there.
Yeah, I think that may be the thing we need to
look
at.
Of artificial turf somewhere. I don't know, but we're throwing out some ideas. But it's my goal not to have to go in there and maintain anything.
No, I would want to.
I like the idea of that spongy surface too, especially if it's colorful. If depending on cost, you know. But that's always a good idea. Yeah.
Find some malls that close and buy the play area.
Adam, can you get us the square footage of all the interior space?
I can, absolutely. That's easy to do. Also, remember, I don't want to speak too in-depth on this, but the rendering is showing the skatable surface, technically, or the rideable surface. However, I do believe that with the style of pump-up track that they're installing, there will be some carryover on the berming of that same rideable material. That's not to say that it's intended to be ridden, but it will kind of cover the berm. So those interior sections are actually going to be smaller than what they look.
Thank you. All right. Derek, we have another piece of the puzzle, though, right? We can talk about the fifth part?
Yeah, we have a couple other things to talk about. We can let Adam go. He's got a long drive tonight, so.
Thank you so much for coming back.
I don't want to speak and run, but I do appreciate the opportunity, and we're really lucky to work with you, so thank you very much.
We feel the same way. Thank you. Safe travel.
Are all sound, so you're ready to go.
Thanks, Adam.
There's larger projects that probably would need to be
start at that. There's some smaller stuff that we'll talk about here in a little bit that I think we could maybe move forward with. So,
okay, I don't want it to interfere.
Yeah,
that.
Yep, good call. Okay, moving on. So the next item I want to talk about is the FIT court. This is another large improvement project. It's about $185,000 project. I did want to note that this project will be funded through kind of a four-way partnership. We received a $25,000 grant from the National Fitness Campaign Healthy City Grant Award. A portion of the city's commitment of $125,000 will go to help fund this FIT park, the FIT course. There's $25,000 in installation costs if we were to contract it out. We've worked with Jason and his staff, and we're going to be doing all that in-house. And then the balance of the fund, which is about $69,000, we propose to take that from the donation that we received. So that said, Lynn, I'll turn it over to you to share the FIT court with us.
So this campaign came to us through the National Fitness Campaign and Illinois Parks and Recreation Association. We applied for a grant, something we really didn't know if, you know, we would be eligible or able to make this work out, but we thought it would be a good fit with the programming that we're doing. And this would be going in east of the basketball court in the south section of Homer Cox and just south of this last time.
Can you show us on the
map?
I'm a visual person.
The skate park or the park ride we just talked about is up here on the north side. This is Adams Street. This is Capitol Avenue. And the pit court would be in this general area. So the playground is here, the shelter is here, and the blue park is here.
Directly east of the new basketball court in that southern region. So we, if you notice,
I like that.
Really nice billboard wall that is on this proposal. We envision that facing Martin Luther King Drive. That's going to be earmarked for our partnership with the city. We'd like to partner with some local artists to do some mural and have some messaging that really embraces what, you know, the partnership and what we've been doing in that area. And so this particular court, they did a study here, in a feasibility study, and they looked at citywide council distribution, population density, the equity map. And out of the eight parks that we gave them, they thought that Homer Cox met the measurements of being able to serve equity, accessibility, and connectivity to all sorts of downtown businesses, medical districts, and then neighbors around there. So they were very pleased with this location. The Recreation Department is proposing that the courts, we're going to be programming it. It also has an app that we'll be working with in the entire community. All this exercise itself can be done just with your body weight. There's instructions on there, but then you can do courses and classes and different events using the fitness court. And you can also tie it into our summer team empowerment zone. So we listened to the neighbors who came to the public input meetings and they wanted something to do with fitness, they wanted exercise, and we just thought this would be a great complement to everything else that we've got going on there. So staff is recommending that we would like to move forward and accept the grant and install this.
Timetable?
Well, they are very motivated. if we were to move forward with a purchase order, and again, it depends on our maintenance department because we would be installing it, but this, they want things launched this season. So the company comes down and they work with us to do the media and the launch and get and work with our staff on the install as far as guidance on the manual for install. So it would be this year if this is where
great.
Wing and prayer.
Always.
It is a great project. I know, again, this is one that the city really got behind as well. Which
yes.
We appreciate their support. If the board wants to consider action next week, which we strongly recommend, so we can get after the timeline, we did prepare a draft resolution that was included in the board packet that the board could take action on next week.
Glenn, can you put the one sheet on the website or make it accessible?
Antoine, did you get this?
I'll put it on the park wall. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions about the sick court?
Nope.
Thank you, Lynn.
You guys are motivating
me
to work out, by the way.
That's the point.
Who
knows, Lynn?
I had to get rollerblades.
I don't know if I'm that important.
Okay, a couple other projects we wanted to share with the board. The splash pad, improvements to the existing splash pad. This is about a $30,000 overall project. As a reminder, the existing splash pad includes an 800-square-foot circular pad, circular concrete pad with 16 jets and a filtration system, and then a perimeter fence that goes around the outside of it. Very similar to splash pad that's just north of the playground here at Southland Park. The foundation funded 100% of the splash pad both here at Southland and at Comer Cox Park. After they were installed, we had some challenges with the one here at Southland where water would kind of come over the side and it would make some muddy areas, and so we came in and actually poured an additional apron around it and expanded the footprint of the splash pad here, and we're proposing to do the same thing at Comer Cox Park as well. So the proposal would be an additional 840 square foot concrete apron that would go around the whole outside of it. So it's going to double the almost double the footprint of the existing splash pad. No more jets, but it expands the concrete.
And there'll be seating.
And
I think that's a key component because the parents love, at both places, you see the parents, you know, right there. And it gives them a place to sit or bring their other child out while they're, you know, changing their wet clothes.
Parents can actually come inside the splash pad and not necessarily get wet, but be part
right.
of it and right there on the inside of it. Yeah. So it's a great addition. There's been some community members that live in the area that have actually requested this improvement. So we're proposing that one. A fence. Let's show you on the board here. So the splash pad is just east of the existing shelter as well. There's also three residential homes that live right here. They experience a tremendous amount of foot traffic during larger events. It goes right through their backyard. It expressed many frustrations to us throughout this process. They have to request the fence, and we think it's a good idea, so we're proposing to put a perimeter fence on our property, our fence, in this area here. Parking, there's an existing parking lot right here, just south of Adams. It's in bad shape if anybody's been out there recently. A lot of their asphalt's in bad shape. It was a wet winter. We're proposing to mill and overlay that, taking that out on the city's back on the city's normal overlay projects. We've got some nice rates on quantities. We're proposing to do that. That's about a $30,000 project. And then the two other items that I want to mention to the board, these are also partnerships with the city of Springfield. The city is looking at removing this existing concrete sidewalk that runs along MLK and replacing it with a new 6-foot wide sidewalk / walking path, which will be super nice in the park. And they also are going to make improvements to the street lamps, where the street lights right now have a pole and the light that hangs out over the street. They're going to put a double, the same pole, but put a lamp that now hangs into the park that will shed more light inside the park all up and down in that cave. And that's a project that the city is working on. And then the last thing that I want to mention to the board is this big yellow line that runs throughout the park. This is a proposed walking path that would go throughout the park. I know the city is working on this one as well. I think they may be applying for some grants that we're working with them on. But this is a city project for partnership with the park district. If we're able to accomplish this, we've done interior looped walking paths in several parks in the last 4 or 5 years. They're very popular, and I really think it could be a really nice added feature in the park. So we support the efforts. A big thing the city needs from us. I know the mayor asked for a letter of support the other day, which we're happy to do. we think that'd be a great addition as well.
Great.
So essentially what we're looking from the board on, to be very clear, next week would be action to approve the design of the pump track that Adam Eichhorn presented to us so we can move forward with that project, and then approval of the resolution for the fit court, which would allow us to purchase the materials and start getting them in and getting that on our installation schedule. Sure.
How wide are the proposed walking paths, the yellow line paths?
6 foot.
That one's 6 foot as well?
Yeah, it's 6 foot, I believe.
No, Nate said the sidewalk was 6. We asked for 8 paved walkway.
Oh, okay, nice.
That's what we've done on all our other parks. The ADA accessible walkways and JC, Duncan, Yield. We made all those 8. We'd be hopefully asking the name for the main road.
Okay.
And then also, can we just double check with the neighbors on that, the location of that fence? I think they've got some gardens back there. They're on our property, but they maintain them.
Right. That's going to be a sensitive issue that we will approach with them. We've talked with the president of the Pioneer Park Neighbors Association about that, to be very upfront with it. The neighbor on the far east has a beautiful garden, and they're really encroaching upon our land. We've not made an issue of it because it's beautiful. It looks great. When we put a fence up, the fence would need to go on the property line. We wouldn't be able to, give them public land, so it's going to go through the garden. So we want to work with them on it. I've spoken with Angela Harris, the president of the Pioneer Park Neighbors Association, as early as yesterday about this. What we're looking at doing is hopefully creating some type of a partnership with those neighbors where maybe they can adopt a portion of our park on our side. They're interested in continuing to maintain something in that area. We have relationships with neighbor associations in many parks where they will come and do plantings and beautification and stuff like that. So,
and we could push, maybe we can push back the fence a little bit.
That's what I was having in mind.
Just so that maybe it's not right on the property line. I mean, where we put the fence on our property is up to us.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
It creates a legal issue. I went through a few of these when I was on.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where because you put your fence in a particular place, it's
waters, right?
A procedure that you have given that land at every meeting to be a parent.
Sean? Alderman Gregory?
Do you want the fence or not?
Or if you just go on the side of the house and keep it going warm into that house like that, the first house to the park?
Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah.
Our
goal is to meet with them.
That's right.
Through the Pioneer Park Neighbors Association, have those discussions, what the fence is going to look like, the material and things like this, and so we'll have those discussions.
Look, the main thing for us is to be a good neighbor, right? We know that what we're doing is going to, if we do it right, will bring a lot more activity to the park. We want to make sure that that does not infringe on their enjoyment of their property. So I think Derek has handled it very well, and I think that's a fair point, right? If they don't want to lose the garden, then maybe that's not a place where we put a fence.
Now, there is a third option.
Yes.
I don't recommend that either.
I understand. Well, what I'm saying is this is a unique situation because of that garden. And if they have an interest in purchasing that small section,
I'm not sure we can sell land.
Yeah.
By statute.
It has to be under 3 acres, and you have to deem it it has no recreational value.
Well, right now they can't play on a garden.
Well, it's a very difficult litmus test to do, and then you have to have petition the court. The court gets to decide if you sell it, and the court also decides how you sell it.
If
somebody else may want to buy it.
Yes.
Statute
has made that process for
public land.
For fairly obvious reasons has made it very challenging to do.
Knowing this neighbor and those neighbors, they never had it, and we've dealt with them a lot over the past few years. I would bet they would be okay with moving a little burden, and then once you put the fence up, they're going to beautify
I mean, it's a good problem to have, right? I mean, make something beautiful. All right. Is everybody okay with proceeding on this next week? I mean, I got to tell you, I'm just, right? I mean, I just think this is going to elevate that whole area. I think it's awesome.
We need to make sure that whatever we're doing doesn't interfere with the festivities and the planning that's going on with that.
Yeah, because that's a big party. Either before or after. Okay.
I feel better with that because really all the site prep is on us. So if he said he wants to start in June, we're responsible for site prep.
Okay.
So I had to have that whole site prep and they said they were ready to go. So of course we all knew he was gonna call me and hey, we're coming down on June 1st to start.
Right.
So I mean
That whole northern section when we start the pump track, I think it's 50 by 150 feet. We're excavating 10 to 12 inches of dirt.
It's a huge undertaking. Yes.
I'll work with anybody and everybody. I'm going to try to get that thing done. If we can barricade it off, whatever we need to do, we'll figure it out. But
okay.
Will we have seating around the fit park and the pump track?
We can do benches.
We're proposing the splash pad right now. We don't have anything in regards to the pump track. We have talked about later on down the road creating some type of plaza, like we've kind of done over at Iowa Basket Park, but that was, funding that is something else we've talked about.
I know the parents have asked me numerous times for seating at the splash pad, so I foresee there be asked for seating at the new.
Yeah, we could do like we've also done aisles and move bleachers that we're not using on field. We could put bleachers there like we've done at aisles.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We could do that as well.
That's a very good idea. I like that.
Bleacher
Before he, I know you need to go, but I did want to just make sure that I said at the beginning, I can't emphasize this enough. The city has been a tremendous partner. So, and through Alderman Gregory, the mayor has been terrific on this. So many thanks to you for making this happen. Right. thank you, Alderman. You too. All right. I think that concludes that. No, ask away. Don't be sorry.
Is this for the FIT Park, is this renewable? Is this a one-time thing? Is it one-time?
I like the way you think, though.
We are going to work with you.
You know, and I really, I believe this is sort of the beginning. What I'd really like to do is when we get into the programming is to look at bringing events, you know, regional events, dare I say national events, but certainly regional events to the skate park. I mean, part of my whole thought process has been to drive, regular activity sort of throughout the season. What? Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Finance Committee, CJ?
We have a senior 22 budget amendment.
Yes. So let me go back and history. When we were formulating the FY22 budget, we purposely omitted the bond from that budget, and then subsequent to passing that budget, we decided to do it anyway in fiscal 22 instead of FY23. And so I've met with the auditor and the talk with council, and I read the statute, and all things point to us creating an amended budget, which we've already done. But the tail end of the process is that we need to do it, we need to formally adopt it, just like we did the original budget, and in order to make it effective, compliant, everything else. But, I mean, I discussed with the council today at length about different ways that we could do it that would not require that. And he's like, I understand what you're trying to do, but probably that's not just doing it the way it's written in the statute. And I said, okay, that's what we'll do then. So the idea is to basically put our amended budget up for available for inspection. And then in May, after FY22 is closed, we'll actually adopt an amended FY22 budget. The formality, again, but that's very formality. So that when we issue financials come autumn for FY22, the budget will have the correct numbers and will align with what actually occurred.
So can you assure us we'll have no findings in the audit then?
It's been pretty minimal the last year or two, so.
So that'll work on that. I mean, it, like I said, we'll make it available for inspection and phase immediately. And we'll have to have a 30-day period. We'll have to publish an ad paper, have a hearing at the May meeting, before the May meeting, and then pass the ordinance, the amended budget ordinance after that meeting, immediately following the hearing.
Okay.
So you'll be getting all of that information probably next week, and I'll just set it up. And the difference will be the $2.46 million less from expenditures that we have already made.
The next time we sell a bond, we should just do it in June. Just a suggestion.
For another day.
Well, that's fine. And like I said, I see it really as more. We already know the bond happened, so now we're just going to align the budget with it.
Okay. All right. Staff updates. Finance, is there anything else, Stephen?
I wanted to point out for some reason, our CCRP, I do not have the ability to go see details on that number. The Department of Revenue just sends us the money. And we have an all-time high of CCRP. I can't fathom where it's coming from. Obviously, corporations, but we're $600,000 over budget, $1 million plus, $1.5 million in CCRP, which just blows out of the water any high. That's that 20-year history. The state space is expensive. That flows through Iowa.
It was a positive, oh yeah.
And it is on page 2 of the Illinois IL 1120. Corporations pay the tax, and we get our share. And
So, we didn't get a chance to circle back to this, but a couple years ago they overpaid 1 year and then they reduced future.
Yeah, that was an error that was made, but that affects everyone.
So we don't think there's an error here?
That would be a pretty big error. The thing is, this would only apply to us. And that's a huge error. Somebody would have, I think, would have noticed that. And I've called every time someone, I'm like, how do you get this number? I'm trying to look and see, and maybe do some comparison, and, you know, the answer is no. Okay. No, they just said it back.
All right.
We'll take it. So second question there, on the heels of a budget amendment discussion, is there any value to amend the budget?
No, I don't think that. No, we budgeted. We look at moving 5-year average for that particular line item. I wouldn't advise increasing the budget based on 1 year on a 1 year split.
So, I mean, you have to call right back on the budget.
Huh?
I mean, you have FY22 budget.
Oh, the FY22 budget.
Yeah, we're budgeting.
We could.
We're getting ready to amend it for 2.4.
Well, we're not going to amend it, but it's because this was not a planned thing. I mean, the difference being, this variance I would like to show.
Right, right.
It's way over budget. The bond variance, I don't want to show a big variance there, because that was just something that
it was kind of easy.
He kind of screwed up,
yeah.
But he didn't. It just happened. This is something we have no control over. It's like, you know, it's like almost a change in the law. It happens. You can explain it. Someone said, well, why is your, and this is actually an easy one. Why is your PPRT $600,000 more than you budget? Well, I don't know. You have to ask the state. Because if you look at the history, which I have, and I go around a curve and go, well, look, here, we're like right, we budgeted right in line with where we've historically been with this kind of overall upward slant. And then all of a sudden we went like this. I have no idea. And other than to say, well, corporations must be paying more taxes.
All right. Well, much appreciated, and we'll take care of that, the budget amendment next week as well. I think we'll take whatever process. You tell us we need to take. Yes, absolutely. Always best. Good advice. Rec and maintenance? Rec and marketing? Used to be rec and maintenance.
Just to note that our summer magazine is being printed as we speak, and it will be up hopefully by this Friday online for patrons to click through and sign up for programs. And not to give Jason any figure of quantity, but we hope to go out for bid in late April with the Langer Lemur project. So hopefully they will be bringing you guys a contract to approve so we can start selling construction.
When is what's the timetable for our new website? Please tell me, like, next week.
Every week with LRS, Amanda and I are working with them. They're putting together the wireframes now, and we will be dumping information into it. The hardest part was just deciding the overarching maneuvers and when cases would look. So we just finalized that, and they're going to be presenting all the subsidiary page concepts to us, and then it will be up putting all the information in, going after the photos we want. But the good news is we have full control over it. So anything we want to change at any given time, we will be able to do that.
It is. I mean, it's kind of like the rec track. I mean, I know it's an enormous project, but boy, is it needed.
It'll happen between now and the summer. It will be, if I call it, we'll be coming. Yeah.
You know, it just struck me, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, gosh, this is just terrible.
Tomorrow, get up and navigate, and it'll be up.
What?
Tomorrow, get up and navigate,
and it'll be up. Make no mistake, the day we roll it out, there will be people that don't like it, right?
Of course.
It's going to happen, because we have so much information on our website. Just think about how large of an agency we are. People come to our website to find out everything about us. So it's really a difficult task.
And you'll be able to track if there's a significant shift in, well, actually, analytics will tell us if there's a significant shift this time around. We don't have that now. And it'll be ADA accessible. And it'll be responsive on a cell phone. And it'll be able to search the entire site we'll be able to import all of our calendar events from RecTrack. They've given us a template that we'll be able to put it right in it, and it'll generate, and we'll throw images in with it, and it'll be a real live reading calendar of what's going on throughout the whole.
Oh.
Our social media also.
Oh my gosh. What a concept. Well, look, it's been a process, right? From very little to some to now, you know, fully integrated. Absolutely. Right. I mean, no, I get that. It's a process, A to B to C, but I'm ready for C.
Yes.
Yes.
Or pretty well.
Okay.
If it's not intuitive to the user, it will be when it's done.
Okay. Thank you.
That's
and
cool.
It'll be forms and not familiar to yes.
Oh, wonderful. Long range planning?
A couple things. As Lynn said, we're working on the link reminder. We're trying to get the design concept done, all the bid specs, all that. We're actually a little bit behind on that project. We're trying to get that going. We're leaning on our architect a little bit to speed that process up. We call the former CASA. They've been taking a lot of time with us. That's a great project. We've been working on that for a while. Looking forward to getting going with that and respond. The rotary synthetic turf is complete now. The two fields are done. We still have a couple of drainage issues to do. We're working on some netting, some fencing type things, but the playing surface is ready to go. They've been playing on it since, I think, I want to say last Friday. So they've been playing on it. Have a good time. It's been all positive. Masons are on site. We're doing the summer kitchen, finishing that up. Seasonal employees return. All maintenance staff is here.
Great. Are the water fountains on?
Drinking
fountains? Yes.
Drinking fountains are up and running. Water fountains, like the aesthetic purposes, are not yet.
Okay.
Get closer to that. Splash pads, we always open more than we
need. Okay. By the way, I really appreciated us keeping the splash pads open a little bit later because it is warmer longer now. So I think that's maybe something we should do. You know, I know it's a balancing act with the freezing. We don't want the pipes to freeze.
I think
just
the past 2 years,
yeah, we started with COVID.
And then once we get that free, we'll do that.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, thank you. Chief?
Yes, ma'am. Department of Things, one of our incidents is the Crime Stoppers crime of the week this weekend. You can see that. Some leads are being developed on that as an active case for some months. I wanted to discuss on that. We are very much wanting to apprehend that individual and her associates, and we're hopeful that Crime Stoppers is going to lead us in the right direction. But we have some promising leads. It's the oldest law enforcement cliche in the book. But we have promising leads that we're pursuing. Along with that, Director Harmsley, I was the guest at last week's Crime Stoppers meeting. For Sangamon Menard Crime Stoppers, we are the second most active department in using their resource, and we've had great luck, and they brought us to dinner and said nice things about us, and we said nice things about them, and they a great resource to us. Also, we're reopening the Eisenhower school shooting from back on January 10th of 2021. That case had not gone cold in our terms of wanting to solve it, but on the city guard was at home, and we're just approaching it again from square one. So I'll keep you focused on that. We've already gotten a little farther this time than we've gotten the last time. Looking forward to reestablishing bicycle patrol, if we can ever get some long-term decent weather. And another related matter, we had grand jury today. A recent arrest that was described in your packets from March 26th, I believe it was. Resulted in a Class X felony indictment of a person that was dealing drugs in Washington Park, fought with officers, and tried to find one of us. So, and that's the most serious class of crime you can be indicted on, so we were glad to see that. In the remainder of the current fiscal year, we're going to purchase the generator for the headquarters. That's a much-needed resource that we have needed for a while. The lobby exterior project is now completed. We have a professional and welcoming yet secure lobby for the police department, and I'm very glad to see that. Half marathon went off without a hitch. A week ago Saturday, we had 1,300 runners, plus or minus. And I figured to watch them all up by a plus. It was quite a good plus. Major event, we kind of got a little rusty on that because there hadn't been one in a while. Huge cooperative event with City PD traffic unit and us. Went off without a hitch, so I was happy about that. As a general thing for U.S. trustees and as members of the community, we're seeing an absolute outbreak of catalytic converter thefts in the Springfield area. We have been struck by that as an agency, a Park District truck that struck at the zoo. University of Illinois had a number of state-owned vehicles recently get struck by that, and that is a thing. So if you're seeing something outside your homes or anywhere that involves some stranger laying beneath your vehicle, please call 911 because we're in the midst of an outbreak of that. We finished the reconfiguration of retired Chief Narcolinus's police car. It's got a video camera. It's got three appropriate enforcement equipment now. It's out on the street a lot more. It's getting 36 miles a gallon when it runs on gas. And based on the last month, about half the time it's running on electric, so it's saving us a ton of money. And every time we get there somewhere and people see it, it's a nice looking car, and we get tons of positive feedback on it, especially when people know that gas is not just a hybrid, it's a plug-in hybrid. And wrapping up, one thing, we continued a strong enforcement on MacArthur at the crosswalk at Williams. That is an area that requires our frequent attention due to high speeds through the crosswalks. I'm not making this up. So far, our record speed in the crosswalk for this year is 94 miles an hour. And within the last 7 days, our record speed, our high speed was 68.
Wow.
So that our work is still cut out for us at that location.
Yeah, yeah, that's one thing that I remember where before Joe was in Ward 6, and he lived down there off of the MacArthur-Williams area. We had talked about trying to work something out with the Park District where maybe we could do an overpass walkway. I still think that might be worth reconsidering.
I think what needs to happen there's a thing called a park zone. So everybody knows a school zone, but not many people know there's actually a park zone, too, where you could slow down and increase the fines. I think it's 20 miles an hour. But, you know, this, we've talked about stoplights in that area. The city, from our previous conversations, they're just, they want to push foot traffic down to South Grand and have them cross there. They don't want
that's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
The one thing which I just driving the area when I pick my son up from school or what I see on the weekend and other things, I still think that that would be a spot where if the two came together and we did something where we did the up and over, you know, they could still even turn around and work something out where the city could have something like what they did with a sign on the entrance in on the 97 where Jefferson comes in and they have that electronic sign, welcome to blah, blah, blah. We could do some kind of community calendar on there for us or them. You know, there's some things we can do that wouldn't be distractions to drivers, but it would it could elevate. Well, the one exception would be baby strollers would still not be one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
And you know, people with disabilities, might be tough.
The city does have a plan. At least they did a couple years ago when we were actively meeting with them on this issue. Wherein they in MacArthur they're going to put in like a center island, so pedestrians could go across two lanes. They would be at this little rested area, so they don't have to look two lanes this way, and then like the old Frogger game, hurry up and go. So it's an issue. I appreciate you bringing up 94 or 96 miles an hour.
That's absolutely
ridiculous.
Well, I will tell you that I watch City Council or attend City Council every single week, and speeding is brought up over half the time. I mean, there's problems all over the city. When I drive home from work on 13th, people are going to 75. mean, it's just, but that is a particularly bad area, and all the way down to like Lawrence and
And it's a head, it's heavily foot trafficked area too. I think that's part of, that's a big part of the issue.
And so Nate Bottoms is supposed to be doing a study right now and getting some numbers and counts and all of that stuff too, because the current board pick, all the person who lives right there on, is very helpful about complaining about all of it. So I'm happy to check in on it and maybe suggest the park, you know, being...
Sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
And please know, I am open to any idea in the score of the box or as far outside the box as could be, whether it's engineering, enforcement, or education. I just want to get us slowed down.
Right.
And we are overdue for disaster, and we get a disaster a block away and let's cover this.
I still, one of the things that we suggested during the time that I was on council was make that particular area red light or the speeding camera, get the automated one, you know, just get what you can out of it, because you can't have an officer there all the time. He can't put one there, they can't put one there, we can't get people. You know, we can't always have someone there. And the other thing is that I know you guys have to know this because you're just off Fayette. You know, Lawrence, they're coming down Lawrence and speeding like crazy. They're coming down South Grand, speeding like crazy. They're coming across MacArthur. Those are the major thoroughfares along. Not, you know, not discounting Burton at all, but, you know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter that's ready to start driver's ed, and I'm telling her, look, that light turns green down to three before you get your gas, because people in this town are idiots, and they run the red every time. And that also happens. Because they're going so fast.
Right.
We got a great partnership with Jeff Neuer, the sergeant for City PD Traffic Unit. By a concerted account, last year we had 12 weeks of the info sign up there with various little quizzes that we got to split out later on life. And again, a concerted estimate last year alone, but over 8 weeks that we were able to borrow their speeding camp, the trailer. And we don't get it on the best of days or times sometimes, but we can get it for a week or so in the off time. That doesn't hurt a darn thing to have that up there,
right.
But the speeds rise up as soon as the trailer leaves, and nobody has the resources to put an officer there. Nor am I suggesting we can ticket right our way out of the problem. That is a piece of a puzzle in the engineering, education, and enforcement safety triangle. Absent that, I mean, if you've got people business here, like, you can't believe.
$7,000
item.
They're
quite pricey.
Yeah, I think having it be a park zone is a really good idea. I think that's a great... Yes. Well, thank you, guys.
Hey, one other thing I want to mention before we close. I would like to get some feedback from the board, and it doesn't have to be tonight, but we've been meeting here at Aaron's Pavilion, so we could spread out a little bit. It does cause additional resources in terms of setup and tear down. Fun is super convenient because we're there. It's really easy. So we staff would desire to move the meetings back to Bunn, but I don't want to put somebody in a situation that they're not comfortable with. So,
okay.
From a health standpoint, I would say let's give it another couple of months. There's another. We got education officials are already starting to get a little worried that with the mask mandates and some of the other things that are relaxing, there's another wave coming. I'd rather.
It's always going to be.
Yeah, but from a hospital, two hospitals.
Point forever, all the time
love,
so I'm
totally
fine with what I heard, but I'm not cool sitting in my bed. I would be too. Yeah.
What?
All right. like, appreciate it, guys. I just like his mask. I like his mask. I think the mask is awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. It is.